such great servants and workers. Let me encourage you to go, as you go next door after the service, to look through. There's some ministries that I'd like you to consider. I know that it's been really very important as we leave the service, in between the services, to have that hospitality time underneath the tent. And so we praise God for that. But that just doesn't happen. People get here and they do bake things and get the things ready. And if you'd like to be part of that team, let me encourage you to prayerfully consider just go checking it out. Find out what you would need to do. Maybe if it's only once in a blue moon when that team or some member can't be there, you can say, yeah, I'll give me a call. So that's the kinds of things where it's trying to share the load. I'd like to invite Jason Ritz to come up. Met Jason for the first time when we got together and we were determining to support he and his wife. I have a bias in my own heart. First, a love for missions. Next is that I believe that missions start in our own heart. The determination that we have something inside, a truth, that would simply be criminal for us to hold on to. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to share it with our family, with our neighbors, to our community, to our state, to our nation, and to the remotest parts of the world. I was part of a ministry in Modesto where we determined, in order to reach the students of that town and that county, that every junior high school, and every college campus would have a team dedicated to reaching students on those campuses. Mine was Mark Twain Junior High School. Later on, it was Roosevelt Junior High School. And finally, at the end, Grace Davis High School. And the idea was to reach students where they live. And doing that in college ministry is utterly important. One of the last times that you actually have a generation that are all in the same spot. And so it's a wonderful ability then to be able to support what you're doing there. So tell us a bit what's going on.
If you were here at first service, or maybe you've heard, I've weeped my way through first service, so I've got my props. This service is especially hard for me. There are students sitting in here. Broke my heart when we moved. That I was not going to be able to minister with. I'm going to do it. Here we go. So, my wife and I serve at Lock Haven University, which if you threw a dart at Pennsylvania and hit the middle, that's where you'd hit. We're about a half an hour from Penn State. Lock Haven itself is 5,000 students, and when my wife and I showed up there about 2 years ago, some of you know we moved to Nashville, and then we moved to Pennsylvania when we became full-time missionaries. The ministry was down to about 10 students, and in 2 years, and the students' hard work, that ministry is about 50 or 60 people now, and it is like the largest club on campus. If you will, please, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. Many of you in here know who I am. There are many of you who don't. My name is Jason Ritz. It's my better half, Carla, and my other better half, Timmy. Those of you who are into math know that doesn't leave much for me. The reason why you don't see Carla and Timmy here today, we are proud foster parents now, and we have three foster children living at our home. We became a family of six in a weekend. So it was not financially profitable to get all of us come out. Go ahead. Some people ask us all the time, how did you get started in this? How did you get started? Mike, Leon, and I, ministering. I love the fact that you guys are doing a ministry fair. Get involved. Serve somehow. Mike, Leon, and I up in that building up there, teaching on like the winter breaks and the summer breaks, classroom full of college students who would come back. And over the years, it kind of dwindled out and died out for whatever reasons. And then 10 years ago, not to point anybody out, but those seats right there, you know her as Deb Soames now, but she was Deb Danning then, and she was an answer to prayer. Carl and I wanted to minister. Didn't know how. We thought, God, we want to work with college students. Bring us we're in Lake County. Not a whole lot of 20-year-olds that are very visible in Lake County, and he brings Deb Banning. And Chriselle Bridges laughs at how far she rides her bicycle away from her car and gets stranded. It was after that, long story, and I could tell you of all, I could have Pastor Gary take the Sunday off. I could sit here and preach to you how great our God is. Amen? Blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. My story and how we are full-time missionaries is a good hour and a half story, and you would not be bored. I guarantee you. When you show 20-year-olds, college age, or maybe they're not going to college, but they're 20-year-olds, that you honor them, that you value their existence, that you value their opinion, and you value their walk with Christ, there is something contagious about that, because their generation is completely the redheaded stepchild, if you understand my meaning. They will become close to you. They will tell their friends, and they will become close to you. And very quickly, you will have a cord, if I can paraphrase Ecclesiastes 4, that is not twice braided, not with 3 strands, not with 5, not with 10. And it's not easily broken. It isn't. It all started in this church. We have ministered to hundreds of college students, and it started in that seat back there. I am blessed to remember that moment, because I am of the age where I'm starting to forget junk. And that is not junk. I'll get through it, I promise. Hit me. Our time at Lock Haven, 2 years, has not been all rainbows and unicorns. There have been some challenges. The Christian bubble, those 10 students would forget that they were a ministry and needed to reach out. Once we reminded them of that, there's no holding that group back anymore. I've got 3 students they've decided to change their majors and go to seminary. 2 that have already swapped out. They're not even coming back. 1, he's going to finish and then get his MDiv and become a pastor. Never seems like there's enough time. I was telling Glenn Bridges over at the ministry fair, I work 6 days a week. I put in about 50 to 60 hours a week, and I wouldn't do it different. I love every minute of it. Every minute, I am blessed. There's just not enough time. God has only made so much. And then there is a real challenge of reaching athletes and international students. International students you see up there from South Korea, they came on our spring break missions trip. They did not know Jesus, but were there to serve the Lord alongside with us. And let me tell you, the biggest blessing for my American students, I asked them all afterwards, every single one individually, they never heard each other's answers. What were you blessed most by? And the resounding answer was, you know what, we enjoyed helping the little children in the children's department or helping at the homeless men's shelter, but the biggest blessing by far was one-on-one teaching those Korean students about the book of John that we went through twice a day, every day. That I got to figure out what I believe and that I can teach that, and it's not that difficult. And that our God is a great God, and I was able to explain that to somebody who's going back to South Korea. You want to affect the global world? Minister to some 20-year-olds. They rub with international students more often than you would think, even in a place like Lake County. We have got Bibles being carried to Korea by people that aren't Christian. We've got Bibles being smuggled into China. They just went back just not 3 weeks ago. Amazing to me. I got some faces. I can't look at them. Hit me. Future. What are we doing next? What do we think the Lord is calling us to? There are two more colleges nearby, like not even a 20-minute drive. And we really feel led to start ministry there. There's not a very big Christian presence on these campuses. One campus that's got like 15 to 20,000 students on it, and another one that's like 20 to 25,000 students on it. And there's not that many Christian groups. We really feel led to be able to do that, but that's going to mean some stuff for Carla and I. And hopefully it'll mean something for you. How can you be involved? And here comes my other prop. I've got a prop here, other than my tissues. So you got your bulletin. I understand. The burden of memory is difficult. You know, you might be inspired. Oh, I want to be a part of this. I want to at least pray for them. I don't know how else I can help, but help. Let me be your memory, okay? Write your name and your phone number, or maybe your email address, and maybe pass it forward or pass it to me, you know, at the ministry fair or at the table there. We'll get information to you, really. Please, please be a part. This is how you can help. Very quickly. Dev was a little upset about that picture right there. Be a prayer partner with us. We cannot do it. There's nothing we can do without prayer. If we do it without prayer, we are dumb, frankly speaking, because then we're just running on our own strength. Don't want that. You could be a financial partner for us. God has been so faithful. And if we're going to have three campuses, I need Carla not to work part-time. I need her God-given abilities and talents to be help orchestrate three campuses. Maybe you're a resource partner. If you haven't figured out yet, these are all students that came from this church that we were blessed to minister with and that have gone on to do great things for the Lord. Bethany Kofeld there. I purposely pick her for the resources thing. I know you might be sitting there going, how can I help you with a resource? I live here in Kelseyville. You live in the middle of know-nothing Pennsylvania. The internet has made the world very small, folks. Bethany is a graphic designer, and she even designed a poster for some students right down there who came and blessed us richly. And the internet has made the world small. Let us tell you, you know, that might be very difficult. Tell us what a resource you can be for the ministry. But more importantly, most importantly, if you want to honor and bless us, serve the young adults here in Lake County. They are a rich blessing. They are a huge resource to your church. And you can have a year-round college/young adult ministry here in Grace Church. There is a history of it, a rich history. The students that have come and gone through this church have gone on to do great things. Show them that you value their existence even, and you value their opinion, and you validate their walk with Christ and that you're there for them. They don't necessarily need someone to be like, you need to do this, but just to be there as a resource so that they can go, hey, what about this? I've got a friend who committed suicide. How can I talk to them? Be that resource for them. My name is Jason Ritz. My wife Carla and I do serve in Central Pennsylvania. If you want more information, the website's easy. Catch me, and thank you. I still can't look at certain directions, otherwise I would fall apart. Thank you very much. Oh, my wife wants me. My wife lives vicariously. We won't do it right now because Pastor Gary is going to come speak. If you would like to wave hi to Carla, maybe after service, we can get a big group picture. I don't want to take up any. Yeah. There you go. See, that's my man. Okay, here we go. We're all going to wave hi to Carla. She's living vicariously through me on Facebook, so, you know. Okay, and it's up and running. Right. Here we go. Over here, ready? You guys are so big now. Everyone say hi, Carla. 1, 2, 3. Oh, see, you know, you were all blurry. There we go. 1, 2, 3.
Man. Amen. Appreciate passion for ministry. What a difference you can make in the lives of students. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we've had this last month to consider if we had 1 month to live. And, Lord, as we wrap it up and talk about how to have a no-regrets life, we thank you that you're the only one who can give us the power to do that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. To wrap up our study of 1 month to live, next week we'll get back to our wonderful study in the book of Acts, studying about the early church and how it changed the world. And we want to be a church that changes the world also. But we want to finalize our 1 month to live by talking about the concept of facing the challenges of our life. And the passage I want us to draw our attention to is in Joshua chapter 3. In the ancient world, when they were trying to figure out the age of exploration, they were making maps. They often would have a map, and then they would put out in the ocean pictures of sea serpents and stuff, and they would say on some famous maps these words, "Beyond this, there be dragons." Now, there was not real dragons. There's Komodo dragons and different things like that. But the issue is that beyond this part, no one knows what's going to happen. In fact, I've been doing a little study of history of the age of exploration and the age of trying to explore the new world. And actually, there was propaganda that was written, false stuff, to tell people, hey, out there, there's a city of gold named El Dorado, or there's these seven cities of gold, or there's this place that's run by this Amazon queen, Khalifa. And it's like pearls that you on the ground and gold everywhere, and they call that ultimately California. That was to try to tempt the sailors to jump. Say, yeah, I'll sign up for that because I may be going to El Dorado or something. Most of them went to their death, died of scurvy or some other thing. The point is that they were going in to the unknown. And the scriptures are filled with examples of going into the unknown. We want to look at this wonderful story in Joshua that tells us about the crossing of the Jordan River. Now, the crossing of the Jordan River has become almost a very clear metaphor of crossing over from this life to the next. I'm crossing over the Jordan. In fact, I almost was going to have a Johnny Cash song. Because Johnny Cash sang about four different songs about crossing over the Jordan, or Tomorrow I'll Cross Over, or Stormy Banks, or something. You know, the issue is that the key I want us to focus on is that God brings us to places where we come to the end of ourselves. Now, let me just remind those of the story of the Jordan River. God's people were in bondage in Egypt. God raised up Moses. God tells Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him, hey, let my people go. Pharaoh says, forget it. God brings plagues. Pharaoh says, okay, go. They take off. They finally get to the Red Sea. They're being now chased. Pharaoh changes his mind, chases the Israelites. They get to the Red Sea, parts of the Red Sea. They go off into Sinai Peninsula. The army of Pharaoh was drowned in the Red Sea, and now they are. They have this big party on the other side. Now they're set free. And God takes them and has a journey for them. It's not the direct route, but kind of a longer route to get there. Takes them to Mount Sinai. And what does he give to them at Mount Sinai? The Ten Commandments. Along the way, they have a little trouble because where are we going to get water? And they begin whining about that. So God provides water. They go, oh, we don't have anything to eat. So they whine about that. God gives them manna. They begin whining about the manna. We get tired of this. And so God gives them some quail. They're just a bunch of whiners, okay? And so God's very, very patient. He gives them the Ten Commandments. You see these great miracles happening. He finally leads them to the promised land. And he says, oh, let's send some spies in, one representative from each one of the tribes. Go in and check it out. They get in. This is beautiful. I mean, it's got land flowing with milk and honey. But in the land, there's giants, and there's fortified cities, and there's great armies of people. And the majority came back and said, you know what? We're like grasshoppers to these people. We cannot possibly go in there. It was something in their mind that was insurmountable. The two guys, Joshua and who? Caleb, there you go. They go, wait a minute. If God did all this other stuff, surely he'll do this. And they tried, the majority said, they tried to kill Joshua and Caleb. So God told the nation, okay, turn around and just keep walking around in the desert for about 40 years till those who are adults basically all died off like flies. And 40 years later, brings them back to the same spot, and he brings them back to the Jordan River. And between that time, he had beamed back in time engineers that could build a bridge over the Jordan River. It was made out of steel, and it was really... That didn't happen. But what? That didn't happen. God could have made it a whole lot easier. Oh, God, how come you made this so tough? We've been wandering around for 40 years, and now we come back to the same spot. And how come you couldn't have just had the Jordan River dried up or beam some, you know, some bridge builders, and we get there, wow, this is the Golden Gate Bridge. What a miracle. But God brings them to the Jordan River, flooded. Well, we want to talk about this. We've been talking about 1 month to live. And I want to talk about, finally, the issue that we will all face in our life. We will come to a place where we cannot possibly make it ourselves, and that is the crossing from this life into the next. From this life to heaven. And we're going to find out that God often brings us in this life to the end of ourselves. Four lessons about crossing the Jordan River. Four lessons about crossing the Jordan River. Here's the first lesson that we all want to learn, is that we must face the Jordan. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. Now I want you to jump ahead to verse 15. And when those who had carried the ark came to the Jordan, the feet of the priest carrying the ark were dipped into the very edge of the water. Now just get this. For the Jordan River overflows all its banks all the days of harvest. So they get there not only to the Jordan River, but they get there, the Jordan River is flooding. Now, scholars are told when the Jordan River floods at that spot where they were going to cross, it can be as much as a mile wide. I want you to imagine, how many of you have ever seen the Russian River over that goes through Potter Valley, Ukiah, down the sea? The Jordan River is almost the exact kind of river. The cubic feet per second of water, the rainy seasons and dry seasons, very, very similar. If you've ever seen the Russian River, where it enters the ocean at Jenner, and you've seen it during a flood, it is ominous. You get down, you sit on one side. Now, there's a bridge there. It's even scary to go across the bridge. You go, man, look at this water. And I've seen it where you couldn't cross the bridge because even each part of the bridge, the entry of the bridge, was covered. I want you to imagine that you've been wandering for 40 years out in the desert, and now you come to this place. It is completely impassable. You can't make it. Now, maybe one of the strongest of the strong could swim across it, get a kayak or something. But you're there with a million people. You got women and children. I want you to imagine that we're all, as a church, we're all over at 10 Mile Beach north of Fort Bragg. Beautiful beach. And we're all going to get in the water, and we're going to swim to Hawaii. Every one of us. Little babies. Some of you are in your 90s. That's the goal. We all got to get in the water and start swimming. Now, some of you, how many of you are pretty good swimmers? How many of you think you'd get pretty far? Matt says, yeah, I get far. Yeah. You know what? I don't care if you're the greatest swimmer on the planet. You're not making it to Maui. Now, you may be the worst swimmer, and you're going to make it 3 feet and drown. You may be the greatest swimmer, and you may make it 10 miles, and you're going to drown. But friends, you're going to drown. It is an insurmountable barrier. And the first thing we must understand in our life, that God at times brings us to insurmountable barriers. Face the Jordan. Friends, this could be a person in your life. Maybe the person hurt you terribly. Maybe they betrayed you. Maybe something happened as a child, and I just can't get beyond this. That's the barrier between myself and personal happiness or joy is this person, this situation, and if this, and I just somehow got to get across it. And you're frustrated. Because why? Because God has brought you to the end of yourself. And you realize that in your own life that you, in fact, are finite. You are limited. You don't have all the answers. And you have to determine that God is just being mean. Or maybe God's got a plan. You're either going to have to trust God, or you're going to say, I guess I'll just go wander around in the desert until I die. I don't believe God brings us to the Jordan to get us frustrated. Because the next step is this. I believe that God not only has us face the Jordan, but then he tells us to face him. To face him. Let me look here at verses 2-4. And it came about at the end of these days that the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God with a Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way which you go, for you have not passed this way before. Boy, I have that triple underlined in my Bible. Gary, you haven't been this way before. God says you face the Jordan. We face the Jordans in our life. Maybe you have some. Maybe it's a financial Jordan. Maybe it's a relational Jordan. Maybe it's some dream or something. Boy, you're in a fog. And really, you realize that only something supernatural, some God thing, is going to help. It's the only thing that can help. God brings you to the end of yourself. He brings you to the Jordan. And then he says, look to me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things you need will be added to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path or make your path straight. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for how much? Nothing. How well are you doing with that one today? I mean, we'll all confess how many times we've been anxious in the last week or month. Be anxious for nothing, but turn it over to God. Same thing's happening here. We come to the end of ourselves. We take a big step back, and these people were to look to God. John 10 is that powerful chapter in John where Jesus comes up and says, hey, you know the 23rd Psalm, that shepherd psalm of the 20th, written hundreds of thousand years ago? Yeah? Well, I'm that shepherd. And here's what he says. John 10:4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Friends, we're here to say that only God has the whole picture. Only God sees the whole thing. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, we see in a mirror dimly. And we get so worried and we get so anxious and we begin making other plans. And God says, no. I want you to not only face your limitations, face your Jordans, but I also want you to face me. They're supposed to follow God. So the Ark of the Covenant says when it sets out from the place, when it sets out, you set out. When God moves, you move. I love an Experiencing God by Blackaby. Blackaby states this: we need to see what God is up to around us and then get involved with God. Get involved with God. This summer, we have some cool things taking place. Epic Midnight Madness is going to take place. Who knows how many people will come, how many people will come to the Lord. We have some training events for the youth. We have a mission trip with the youth and some adults. We have Vacation Bible School coming up. And you know what happened last year we saw? We saw miraculous things take place. We saw more kids and more young people involved at any time, get this, in the history of Lake County. It's humbling. Friends, when God is moving, let's move with Him. And that's what He says here. Face the Jordan, and then it says, face the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant would go before them, the very essence of the presence of God. Now, here's something that's important about this passage. The Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, is mentioned no fewer times than 12 times in this chapter, either by name or referring to it as it. When you see that happening, then you realize, hey, that's got to be a significant influence. Friends, the solution to the limiting factors of our life is not our own cleverness, but it is relying on the power and the presence of God. God's called us to leave our comfort zone. He's going to bring us to things that our solutions, human solutions, simply cannot, they won't make it forward, but He has a solution. Why? Because He wants to remind each one of us that we are not God. He is King and we're not. So the first thing we do, we face the Jordan. That's what He brought them. Hey, 40 years, come back. He could have had a bridge already built. He could have had it all dried up. He could have had hovercrafts there. He could have had, you know, escalators going across. God's pretty creative. Here's how creative God was. I'm just going to have a lot of rain. It'll flood. You guys are going to go, man, what now? And then He was going to speak to them. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to wait. And watch Me. I think that they were supposed to keep the ark 2,000 cubits away. Now, a cubit is 18 inches. So get this. This is how the ancient world measured stuff. This was a hand breadth, okay, from there to there. So how many hands? And this is a cubit from there to the tip of your finger, okay? Now, that would be different for most people. Generally about 18 inches, 18 to 21 inches. So 2,000 cubits is about a half a mile. You've got a couple million people. God says, I think it's 2,000 cubits away so everybody could see. Keep their focus on the Lord. And I think for myself, that is one of the great challenges of my life. I've got a lot of ideas. I've got a lot of energy. Been at this a long time. I have to make sure that the Lord is the one who is going before. You face the Jordan. You face the Lord. Next thing is face yourself. Verse 5. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Consecrate yourself. Do you want to be used by the Lord? You want to see miracles in your midst? You want to see Him do things in Lake County that people have only prayed and dreamed about? There's only one way. It's we do that with the Lord, and we do that by consecrating ourselves. I mean, setting ourselves apart for God's use. Years ago, I shared the story many times. I was in Boy Scouts. We were in the desert. We got rained out of our camp. We had to leave. We were all wet and cold. We got to this coffee shop, and my dad was on the trip. Says, hey, he was going to pay for a Coke or hot chocolate for everybody. I had hot chocolate, get to the bottom of my hot chocolate, And at the bottom of my hot chocolate, there's dried clam chowder soup. Now, how many of you have ever had that happen? There's something that sticks with you. It just stays with you. It's a life-changing experience. Since that time, even at my own house, I look and make sure there's no clam chowder soup. It has warped me. It has somehow wounded my soul. But it's you know, until I get to heaven. And in heaven, I won't be looking at the bottom of glasses anymore, I'm sure. Why do I share that? Because somebody at that restaurant in the Mojave Desert didn't care how cleanly, how clean that cup was. Maybe they were laughing in back. You know, got that guy. You know what? Here's the issue. God says, I want you to be holy unto Him. Friends, we got to face the Jordan. We face our limitations. We face those things that we can't handle without God. I'm not talking about going to the restaurant. Oh, should I have a burger or a BLT or should I have a salad? You know, just make a decision. You know, this is not rocket science. If you want to pray about that, that's fine. I mean, you pray about everything. But it's not life-changing. But there are things you get to, and everything depends upon the decision you make. And we need the Lord there. We need to face ourselves. We expect Him to remove the obstacles. We must set ourselves apart for Him. Get this. If God is going to continue to use the churches of Lake County, if He's going to continue to use your life and my life, then we must determine that we are going to be holy people. That we're going to take seriously living Christ-honoring lives. So we face the Jordan, we face God, we face ourselves, and finally, we face our faith. Because talk is cheap. Verse 6, Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, and they will know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall moreover command the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the word of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and He will be surely dispossessed from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourself 12 men of the tribes of Israel, one from every tribe, and as it comes about when the soles of your feet of the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the water shall flow down from above, shall stand in one heap. Wow. Friends, talk is cheap. God brings us to the end of ourselves. God says, I want you to enter the land. I want you to enter abundance. I want you to enter a place of peace and rest and joy. I want you to enter that. And we go, oh, but I can't because look what this person says about me. Or look what they did to me. Or look at the money I don't have. Or look at this. Oh, we see this. And God says, listen, trust in me. I brought you to the end of yourself, but I have not brought you to the end of me. So God is saying, face your Jordan, face me, consecrate yourself, then step out in faith. You just keep walking. Keep doing what the Lord has told us to do. Now, this is the interesting thing. You have a flooded river. And a flooded river is treacherous. And you're carrying the priests, they're carrying this Ark of the Covenant, golden box, golden poles, and they're holding this thing. And you got one guy in front and the other guy in front, okay? And they're walking. Okay, here's the idea. I'll call them Fred and Joe. Fred and Joe, you guys get in front, and you're going to get to the edge, and here's the idea. Step into the flooding water. After you step into the flooding water, the water will stop and heap up, and you'll cross on dry ground. Now, we get to meet these guys one day in heaven, Fred and Joe, who, and they're getting there, and there's this flooding, and this, you know, it's probably a pretty steep bank, and they're going, okay, well, you first, or we're going to do this in, you know, in unison. But what a wonderful miracle. They step into the Jordan River, trusting God. Now, if God doesn't come through, the Ark of the Covenant gets swept away, they probably drowned. And people were going, whoa, you know, that's, I don't want to do that. But God comes through. Now, here's what I believe. How many of you have been a believer in Jesus Christ for at least 50 years? Raise your hand. Raise them high. At least 50 years. Now, since I know most of you, I could have you come up and share testimonies where God has done exactly what he did at the Jordan. You stepped out in faith, and God came through miraculously. Amen? Well, that's the testimony of God's people. Some of them are written down in the Bible. Some of them are written in our own hearts. And it's the testimony that we get to share with people that God comes through. But friends, he needs to bring us to the end of ourselves. Why? Because we so much want to trust in only what we can see. And God is wanting to show us that he's a God who doesn't like to be put in a box. He's a God that will bring us to the end of ourselves. We face ourselves. We face him. We then consecrate ourselves as we look to God and go, God, boy, forgive me, make me whole, heal me, because I want to be used by you. And then we step out in faith. We step out in faith. And friends, I don't believe that we'll be disappointed. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Let's read this together. Here we go. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Now this is kind of cool. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly beyond all we ask or think. That's a lot of adjectives, okay? Friends, you will not be disappointed. I love the application of this. They step down in the water. They're supposed to park the Ark of the Covenant in the middle of the river. The water's heaping up. Goes upstream 20 miles, heaped up. I bet the people in Jericho are going, whoa. Wow. In fact, we know that their hearts melted as they saw that. God wants to work in our midst now because he wants the people around us, their hearts to melt. What barriers they may have of belief, he wants to show the world his power and grace. Tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed to all men to die and then have the judgment. Now, I do realize this, as the Bible says, that there will be a rapture. I believe there will be a rapture of the church, a time where instantaneously believers are drawn to God's presence. Do I completely understand that? I've been studying it for 35 years. The answer is no, but I have a really good concept of it. It's going to happen. All right? Now, as to setting a date or time for that, very, very tricky. Don't do it. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what Jesus himself did. Be ready. Be watchful. Walk in a manner worthy of what I've called you to do. Get out there and be salt and light until the day that I take you home. Most of us here, I believe, will die a normal death. Now, I'm not trying to be morbid. I buried a dear friend of mine last week. He didn't come to Christ till he was his late 70s. It's a miracle. You know what? What a joy it was to know that the greatest barrier of all, and that's the barrier of life and death, is the barrier from earth to heaven. You can't build a bridge there. You can't build a tower there. You can't make a philosophy. Well, here's my philosophy. I think I get more chances. I'll just be reborn, reincarnated. You know, it's nonsense. It's mankind coming up with their own bridge to get across. There is no way to get across except by the very grace of Christ, which He's given to us. I'd like the men to come now. Hear the words of 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, that you may what? Know that you have eternal life. Today, the only way you can know, you can cross that Jordan of life and death, you must know personally Jesus Christ. He must be your Lord and Savior. He is the one who died on the cross for your sins and rose again. And you must throw yourself at His mercy and bow to His Lordship. As we share around this table, we realize that God has made the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we share around this table, we thank You that You have made a way. You've brought us to the end of ourselves. We've faced ourselves. We have faced You. We've realized our limitations and the necessity that You cleanse our lives and make us whole. And Lord, then help us to step out and walk in faith. So as we remember You around this table, thank You for making a way for us. In Christ's name we pray. And we look up into the heavens and we see the power and the majesty and the bigness of God. It seems amazing to me. And it seemed amazing to the writer of Psalm 8. Lord, then why do you think of me? Why do you love me so much? As we take this little reminder of what Christ did, never forget that God made the way for you. As we do this in remembrance of Him. In the same way, Christ would take this cup at the Last Supper, knowing that the great barrier between ourselves and the Father was our sin and our rebellion. And that all the going to synagogue or church or all the memorization of scriptures or ideals, then nothing makes it. All of our attempts at righteousness, as the Bible says, are like filthy rags. The solution was for a perfect Savior to come, the Lamb of God, who would die on the cross for our sins and rise again. So it is my prayer as you take this cup and meditate upon it, that you would realize that Christ has given all for you. And that what His desire as you come to Him is to give all to Him. If there are things that you're holding back in your life, if there are sins, besetting sins that you refuse to give up, refuse to confess, then give them up now. Do not take this cup in an unworthy manner. None of us is perfect. God's not expecting perfection. What He is expecting is seriousness of our devotion to Him. So this is a time each week, each month, to ask the Lord to walk through your life in your heart and say, Lord, if there are things in my life that are not pleasing to You, I turn them over now because He has given all for you and I. Christ died for you and me. One day, for those who have called upon the name of the Lord, those who received Him and received this wonderful gift, we will gather on another shore. I'm not exactly sure what that's all going to be like, but until that time, God has not saved us to sit. He has saved us to serve. So get next door, and if you're not serving, then you don't get it. Now, it may not be one of the things that we're currently doing. That's fine. But if you're not serving God and others, you don't get it. He saved you to serve as He came to serve each one of us. Let us do this in remembrance of Him. Let's stand together and pray. Remember, please, a benevolence offering on the way out for those in our church and others who need some extra help. Please make your way next door and just see all the great things that God is doing. Our Heavenly Father, we pray now. We know, Lord, You have saved us to serve. You have redeemed us so that we can be tools for Your sake. And we know that when we get to heaven, that it'll be the greatest joy of our life, not only that we came to know You by Your grace and mercy, but that, Lord, that we took up the very important ministry that You have left us with. So, Lord, we help us to step out of our comfort zone, whether it be a Jordan River we're facing. Help us to face that and to face You, to ready ourselves and then step out in faith to this new chapter of our life. Just bring us back tonight to those who will study and grant us a very powerful week filled with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks for coming. Have a great day.